Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging in there with us, for hanging out with us and being part of our day. My pleasure, as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and you're listening to the show that endeavors mightily to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And one of the ways we do that is by introducing you to some really smart people, the members of our Brain Trust, like our good friend Kendra Bonnet, who is with us right now, and she is a partner of the Academy Agency. That's a relatively, I won't say relatively new assignment or endeavor that she has, but I just know that over the years we've talked to her as we've known her, she has continued to pursue her what I can tell almost a lifelong endeavor of understanding the digital age, how we use technology to do the things that we do. She's contributed on so many different levels in the books that she's written, in the positions that she's held, in the companies that she's formed and helped to form and to move forward with. And she's just a great wellspring of information and wisdom about the digital age. And we're glad to have her as a friend. Kendra, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be back, and thank you for that beautiful introduction. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, I think I read it right, didn't I?
Yeah, you said it exactly as I wrote it.
Yeah. No, just kidding, folks. I feel that way about Kendra because I know a little bit about her. And Kendra, you know, I was telling them that you've been around in this marketplace not as long as I have, but for a while, and you've learned some things,
yeah,
some of them from your successes. And I said, you know, she might have made a mistake once or twice. And she might have learned something.
I make a doozy.
they're doozies, huh? but she might have learned a few things from those. And that's one of the things we like to do is to have our Brain Trust members share the things that they've learned from the mistakes that they made. But tell us, give us a little bit of a tour, in your opinion, of where you think we are right now in the digital age.
I'd be happy to. In fact, I had made a few notes before this call because it's exactly what I did want to cover. One thing I want to throw out there, and then we'll come back to it, is the fact that I'm sure all of your listeners know that Lillian Vernon and the Sharper Image have filed bankruptcy.
I did not know that. When did
you
that happen?
You did not. Well, I find this a very interesting fact because Lillian Vernon's been around since 1952.
Oh, yeah. I interviewed her about 3 or 4 years ago face-to-face.
Great woman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
I know her. Image, and I know Richard her son. Tallheimer.
Right. Yeah, I knew Sharper Image had filed bankruptcy.
Yeah, 1977 is when they started. These are two icons in
the catalog industry.
Catalog industry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, you know, there are a number of issues, and I'm not trying to suggest what caused the problem because there are many, many things that were at play here. But there's no doubt that things like the cost of paper and the cost of brick and mortar have a tremendous impact on companies like this. The irony of Sharper Image is that they started in 77. They started during the first gas crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And they benefited from that because people stopped going just indiscriminately in their car and they started shopping on catalogs. And Lillian Vernon grew during that period as well. But their transition to the digital age was not as powerful as it might have been. And that's one of the things I wanted to throw out as kind of an introduction into what I've been working on and thinking about. Now, back to me, I actually got involved in a business down in New Jersey about a year and a half, 2 years ago, which turned out to be a colossal failure. Cost a tremendous amount of money, but it gave me an opportunity to see what younger entrepreneurs and younger consumers in general were beginning to do on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went back to clean off my tail feathers and lick my wounds, I threw myself into learning and understanding what was going on today on the internet, because I've been involved in the internet since 1996.
Right.
But it's a different place today.
It is.
And it's a place every one of your listeners needs to be.
It was a bemusement in 1996. Today it's it's a marketplace. It's a tool. It's a critical backbone of our economy.
It's where people are making
and
serious
society.
Money.
Mm-hmm. And society.
And
society.
And I think as we go into a new era of gas concerns and questions about the economy and what's going to happen short term, this is an opportunity for the smart entrepreneur to begin saying, okay, how do I make this thing work for me?
Mm-hmm.
And the two key things that they need to be aware of all the time. It's not a presence. It used to be. Remember when we all started putting up websites, it was a presence.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on the Internet.
Right.
Now it's building traffic and building a database mm-hmm. and converting all of that traffic and database into real business. Those are
right.
the three things, really, that everyone needs
what
to be
focused on.
What about content?
How about content?
Content is king. It always has been, and it probably always will be. And as a writer, I love that fact.
You're right. I'm going to agree with part of what you're saying, but it wasn't always, Kendra, because you and I remember when it was all about the eyeballs, not so much about the nutty days of the dot-com era. When the dot-bomb era, when the laws of economics had been suspended, and in those days, Kendra, you and I were saying that content has got to mean something,
right?
And we were and I, you know, we've held out for where we are now, but I still believe the people who have lasted without interruption through this whole time are the people who always believed the content was important.
Absolutely, that and customer service.
Yep.
Both are essential. When I say content is king, and it always has been, I mean going back to the beginning of time.
Yeah.
If there isn't any substance, ultimately, you won't make it. And the stock dog and things like that just don't get you through the hard times.
Thank you, Mr. Gutenberg, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Most of the number one essential person, and probably next to Jesus Christ himself,
right.
I think, in terms of forming this world.
Yeah. I point out that prior to the press, you know, there was no real reason to have the printed word because most people were illiterate.
That's right.
But once
and they
the,
passed
once
it on, but it didn't mean content wasn't essential.
Right.
It was just passed on,
right.
You know, via oral tradition.
Right.
But nonetheless, today's world is absolutely essential.
Now we've got all that on steroids, and here we are in the 21st century. When we come back, we got a lot more to talk about with Kendra. She's got a lot more to teach us, and we're going to do that right after these messages. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Range of useful information you bring to your listeners is staggering.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. That's Robert Craig bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Kendra Bonnet, and she is the partner in the Academy Agency. And that's a relatively new entity that she started with some other folks. And Kendra, tell us a little bit about the Academy Agency.
I'd be happy to. It's not relatively new. It is brand spanking new. We just literally are still forming doing the paperwork. But we've been working together now for several months because we fell into an opportunity to represent one of the early internet celebrities that is transitioning over into mainstream entertainment world. And I don't know how many of your audience hang out a lot on YouTube, but they might have heard of something called My New Haircut, which is a video that has just taken off like crazy. They've gotten more than 11 million hits at this point on their site. They've gotten the greatest respect paid to them in the sense that other kids are making mashups and homages and tributes to My New Haircut by doing their own versions of it. It's mm-hmm. a really bizarre thing to watch. But we've taken this young man national, and now we're looking into some opportunities for film, for reality television. He's truly has made the transition. We also have sponsorship from Jägermeister because there's a connection to the bar scene and these things that kids drink called Jäger bombs, and it's wild. But
what's a Jäger bomb?
A Jäger bomb is it's a shot of Jägermeister dropped into Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kid's drink.
Ah, okay.
But apparently this thing has just taken off all over the place, and so we contacted Jäger, and actually it was a funny thing. Jäger contacted us because we were using the term and suggested we cease and desist. So I wrote to the company and explained what we were doing, and apparently the powers that be, this is a lesson to anyone, we got the call, the letter from the attorney, and I CC'd the CEO in the return response, and the next thing you know, they were on the phone with us, and they wanted to work with us.
All right. So you never know how these partnerships will come about.
You've got
something under a billion small businesses at your knee right now, Kendra.
Wow.
And they're asking you, what should I be doing online? What do you tell them?
Well, that's a good question. There isn't any one thing.
What's the biggest mistake that you can make today?
The biggest mistake is thinking, well, I'll go get a website and I'll pay somebody to set it up and I'm done.
Yeah.
And I'll put a shopping cart in and they'll buy all my stuff and I'm done.
Yeah.
Because the toughest part of being on the internet is, well, there are two things. Being found, because it's huge out there. I mean, it's like being lost in a mall, your store lost in a mall of millions of stores. And then breaking free to be found, in the traffic process, really requires you to set up your site and then go out and start driving people to you, so that they come willingly. I mean, that's the best thing in the world. You're not,
and they tell their friends.
And they tell their friends, but. You've got to take advantage, just like with the My New Haircut and the fact that it has grown virally, almost in spite of what we've done. It's because the content was something that attracted the young people. They started expanding it. And the same thing, if you take your own content and put it out into articles, on there are certain aggregating sites that handle your articles. Those things get spread all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
As well as through some of the social networks.
But you got to take those steps, though, to get them out
there.
That's
right. It doesn't happen overnight.
They won't come knocking on your door and saying, hey, let me make you a star.
No, they will not. But if you take your baby steps and you do it every single day religiously, you will be amazed where you'll be in 6 months to a year. And as I said, it's not going to happen overnight. Yes, you can offset some of that if you have the capital to play with by doing some work with the click-through advertising and all of that. That helps the drive, but it can be potentially expensive.
It can get out of hand, can't it?
It can. If you don't know what you're doing, it can.
Yeah.
If you know what you're doing, you can manage this thing.
Well, there are two ways. Aren't there two ways to look at the pay, the online ads and the buying pay-per-clicks? One way is, and this is how you think about this with regard to how much money you can spend.
Right.
If you got something to sell, something that people can buy when they get there, then maybe if you spend $5,000 a month to get people to come to your site, but you sell $100,000 worth of stuff, well, that's a good deal probably.
That's right.
But if you don't have anything, if you don't have anything for them to buy, and all they're coming there is to see your stuff, maybe see some advertisement. Well, unless you want to set aside an amount a month for marketing budget, and that's how you want to spend your money.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do it this way because a marketing budget doesn't have to be spent on something that has to turn into business as fast as an advertising budget. I would use public relations techniques,
PR,
traditional marketing techniques, as opposed to advertising if I didn't have a product to sell. And I would build it through the article writing, working on the social networks, blogging, all of these other tools. I would not spend it on the click-through advertising unless I was specifically pushing a product.
Good information, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we have Kendra here for. And she's going to stay with us another segment. And we've got a lot more stuff to get out of her head when we come back after these messages. 29 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, here in Chicago to take us out.
Life is lonely, oh, when you're amazing way.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm glad you're here. Kendra Bonet is still with us. She's going to stay with us just a little bit longer. She's got some good stuff to tell us. She is a partner with the Academy Agency and in Hamden, Connecticut, and a longtime friend of ours, a longtime member of our Brain Trust. We've missed you, Kendra, since you've been gone. You haven't been with us for a while, and we're going to fix that, though. We're going to start having you come back on a much more regular basis. You were telling us, Kendra, about some of the things not to do.
Mm-hmm.
As we develop our online strategy, what are some things that you think we should do to develop our online strategy?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to figure out what you want to accomplish online. Don't just jump into something. You're better off doing nothing than just jumping in and doing the wrong thing and just spending money, thinking, well, if I just spend a lot on the internet, I'll be there. You need to figure out what you're trying to sell, exactly what kind of money is realistic, so that you don't overspend in your development of an internet presence, and then start putting the baby steps in, if you will, of getting a following out there, blogging. I've mentioned this before, and I don't know how many of your audience have taken this seriously yet. It's an important opportunity. In fact, I've got a new recommendation. We're starting out in the West Coast. I'm working with a woman. We're starting a publishing company that's designed for the 21st century that overcomes a lot of the overhead and costs that make it prohibitive to the average author to really make some serious money on doing their book. We're going to set it up so that they can sell these books on the internet and really drive some presence. But
Are these electronic books or physical books?
Some of them will be, but not all of them. Enough digital printing capabilities now that you don't have to have huge inventories, and you can get your hands on them fast, and you can still be on Amazon and places like that. It doesn't preclude you from any of that.
You know, that's what we've done, Kendra.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we founded our own publishing company here, and we cut out about 6 middlemen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And
it's wonderful.
We've sold almost 100,000 copies of my two books.
Well, congratulations. We just finished a book out on the West Coast called Rosie's Daughters, and it's about the generation of women who were born during World War II. They're
right.
the proverbial daughters of Rosie the Riveter. And we are doing this all using digital technology, teleseminars, all kinds of capabilities that have just never been applied to this, not traveling the world and traveling the country doing book show appearances and stuff like that. It costs too much in today's world.
It's
using this digital very, very effectively. We are coming up. I'm going to do a book, in fact, related to this, of 50 ways to use your writing talent to push your book online.
Right.
Well, a lot of it has to do with your ability to communicate.
Now, what you're telling us that we should be doing on the internet. I know you're working a lot with young people. How much should we focus on them, and what do we have to do? You know, focusing on the young people. If you're not a kid, focusing on the kids is not always easy to do. It's not as intuitive for us folks with a little gray hair.
Well, you're right. It isn't. Some of us, I think, have just never quite grown up. So I do pretty well in that area. I guess I can still kind of understand what they're talking about and where they're coming from, because I keep my feeling for the internet and the digital capabilities, you know, very fresh in my mind, and I'm always learning and all. And I think that's essential. I think if you're going to do anything with this environment, you've got to stay in tune with what's going on. What are the new tools that are out there, the new technologies? And I'm in the process of developing a blog that is going to talk about using some of these free capabilities that are online to promote yourself. I mean, they're all free out there. Everyone's trying to build a market for their products and get funding and all, and so right now they just want bodies using these products, and there's hundreds of them. I've created an online bookmark for myself at Delicious, which is a website. And if they go to Pukaku on Delicious, they can see all of the different tools that I have already.
These are ways that you're reaching the younger.
Yeah. It's one of the ways. There's a site called Gather.com. It's a social network for adults. It's not for kids. It's not like MySpace.
Right.
But it's remarkable what you can do there, and I've set up a couple of sites there as well.
I'll be darned. Hey, Kendra, you got a lot more to teach us. We're going to get you back in again real soon. Will you come back soon?
I promise I'd love to.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Kendra.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
She'll be back, I promise. And I got to take a quick break. Right back with our good friend Annabelle Dodd. Here's crazy Joe Cocker to take us off.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.